The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Time for another fantastic edition of Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mission, your mind. It runs at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time every Monday through Friday. And if you miss any of our shows, it runs 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio, TKR. Download that TKR app. Like tens of thousands of folks have already done that. Then you, of course, go to Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Tony Curry Radio Podcast. That's Curry with a K. And we're on every major industry out there wherever you get your podcast. Look for Mission Minded with Michael Coleman. Of course, a lot of people knew Michael when he's with the Jimmy Hill Mission there for a few years. He's now the CEO in over 35 different counties here in the great state of Alabama for the Montgomery Food Bank. Michael, how you been, brother? Everything good?
Doing great. We were just talking before we came on how busy things are, but it's a good busy.
Yeah.
Because you're involved in trying to get more people better fed, more nutritious food, and so that's a fight worth enduring. Right. So I'm busy, but good busy.
Yeah, keep you out of trouble is what it does.
That's right.
You know, we had an interesting email, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, about inflation. The inflation numbers came out a couple of days ago. It's still hovering somewhere around the 8% mark. Obviously, the Fed's pushing the rates up. It's not really helping. It's just a hot economy right now, and people continue to go out there and look for things to buy, and they're spending more than they ever really have to on inflation. Meanwhile, the bottom half of this United States is having a difficult time even going to get groceries. I know you get a lot of donations food-wise in the Montgomery Food Bank, but I also understand you have to pay for a lot of the food you get. How does inflation affect your organization when this is happening? Do you have a rate that does not go up, or do you have to pay more for the food in order to delve it out through Feeding America and through the Montgomery Food Bank?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a great question, and it affects us in all sorts of ways. So we have a fleet of about 11 trucks and the refrigerated trucks, you know, the best we can squeeze out of them, a fully loaded truck, no matter how much, you know, the best driving skills and all, not punching it, not braking fast. You're good if you can squeeze 7 miles a gallon out. Of course, we know, you know, that's not too far from a dollar a mile.
Yeah.
And so we have such a rural area and such a wide range, we can go easily an hour in any direction and still be in our territory. So it's a huge challenge when you put, 10 trucks out on the road, 11 trucks out on the road with trailers, trying to get food out there. And you know, those costs have to be covered by somebody. And so we have to raise the money to do that. But then you think about the challenges. There's lots of people out there, just good-hearted people who are like, hey, I give to my church, or I give to the local food bank, or they give somewhere that they're passionate about that's made a difference in their life. And let's say, look, you know, when all they have to give every month is, let's say they give $25 a month. Well, now they can no longer give that because they're having to make ends meet and they're having to put gas in their cars. And so as food and fuel and all that continues to go up for them, a lot of those small end donations drop and people say, well, you know, it's $25. Well, if you think about it, that you have hundreds of people doing $25 a month,
yeah,
it doesn't take long till it affects your bottom. So you've got that on the donation side, you've got the expense side going up and we are not allowed to, excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat, but
right.
We have, you know, the Feeding America system is that we don't charge for food. We charge for shared handling fees, but our shared handling fees are capped out by law. So we can't just continue to raise those depending on the cost. So, and just one more example, we may get a $25,000 grant from Costco, that we shop at Costco and spend that money there. Well, $25,000 is generous and we love it. But when you're buying for counties, when you're buying for, you know, a 12 county area, it doesn't go very far. Well, then you increase that cost over a couple of years, you know, 15 or 20%. and you've even sliced into that more.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what approach we take or what avenue, we're talking about transportation, we're talking about purchasing power, we're talking about the amount of money coming in, we're challenged. And so inflation tears away at every bit of that. And I know that inflation is a complex issue. There are lots of potential factors into that. So it's not an easy solution to those kind of things. But people just need to recognize that it does affect us and our ability to be able to address food insecurity in as strong a way as we'd like to.
So I heard this story. He is Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank over 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission. I heard this story about the Alabama prison system. It's an absolute mess. And right now there's people striking on building the new prisons. There's people striking inside the prisons. It's just a mess to the point where some inmates now are only getting one meal a day because they don't have people to serve those meals. Let me ask you this. When you're talking about a $25,000 card, if you will, and inflation, things are up 8, 10, 15%, depending on what you're buying. How does it affect the meals that you're able to give out to people that depend on you?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, we have to really focus on, it's not just, we just try to gather whatever we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're huge sourcing. So we're trying to take excess food, and we do believe it's a Feeding America principle. It's a Montgomery Food Bank principle that we believe there's enough food in America to feed everybody in need.
Yep.
A lot of the challenge is just sourcing this food. And that takes, lots of times it's just the sourcing. It's just bringing agencies together. It's just sharing. It's all those kind of things. And all of that is a struggle as it is. And then you throw in, you know, the additional cost. And so what we'd like to be able to do is say, look, there's enough. Let's get it organized to where we can give seniors like low salt or healthier choices or more convenient choices. But it robs us of those extras, those conveniences kind of thing. And so lots of times we may get out the same poundage of food, but it may be food that somebody has to stand at a stove and prepare versus a microwavable dish they could just put in and don't have to do that. And when you're sometimes in your 70s or 80s or 90s, standing at the stove is just, you may not have the health to be able to do that. And so it really does get right down to the nitty gritty of getting food, the best food to the people in need, and do it in a way that helps them and doesn't cause them to have to eat food that's unhealthy for them. And so there's just everywhere you turn, there's new challenges, and there's no aspect of our operation that inflation does not touch on.
All right. So you and I broke some bread last week. You were in town, and I love meeting up with you, and I consider you a very good friend of mine. We have great conversations. And we had an interesting conversation, you know, sex, religion, politics. We got the holidays coming up right around the corner. Those are the three areas you don't talk about, even with your own family, right? You just don't go there. If you want to get along.
That's what they say, yeah.
Well, now everybody talks about all three. Sometimes before you even get inside that person's house, they want to know what affiliation you are with. And I get that. And now everyone's so opinionated. Everyone's got to tell everyone how they feel about things. You know, you and I were talking about, you know, who we voted for the last several elections. There's partitions in between each place where you vote because it's a private thing. You normally don't talk about who you vote for. Well, now everybody wants to know who you voted for, why you voted for him, and why did you vote for that person? When it comes, and I'll get into the politics of it, because there have been a lot of movements that this country's gone through the George Floyd situation, through LGBTQ and equal rights there, about women's rights. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And I think a lot of those have been really good things that we need to talk about. You know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to talk about these things, but I think it's important to find out, you know, where people stand, particularly our politicians. They seem to be obviously a big voting point on how you feel about whatever it is, abortion or anything. But when it comes for non-for-profits and you have a bigger need, you're serving everybody. You're not asking someone, hey, are you a Democrat or Republican? Because you're not getting this meal if you are, or do you believe in, are you pro-choice or pro-life? You're feeding a need. How do you keep your fingers out of that? I know that we spoke briefly about some of your people at Jimmy Hill Mission or even the Montgomery Food Bank said, hey, listen, this Black Lives Matter movement is huge. Maybe this is something we need to get behind. And a lot of non-for-profits have gotten behind some of those movements. They may not be, the PGA's done it, the NBA, while they're not a non-for-profit, has gotten behind Black Lives Matter. How do you broach those very difficult things to get behind?
Yeah, so it's such a sensitive and huge challenge. And I don't try to ignore that challenge, but I try to look at what is, first and foremost, what is my purpose? And here at the food bank, it is to address food insecurity that affects a lot of people in poverty. And that is not a political issue. That is feeding our neighbors, caring for our neighbors, loving our neighbors, and treating people with dignity and respect. The problem is, in our country, is that, we don't sit down and everything's the 30-second soundbite. Mm-hmm. So if I were to make a comment on Black Lives Matter, some people are going to take it positively and some people are going to take it negatively. And because they're not going to sit down and just engage me in a long conversation and allow me to fully explain. So let's say I came out and said, I support Black Lives Matter. Then instantly I lose half my support because the country's split in half. Or if I say I don't support Black Lives Matter, I'm going to lose the other half. And so sometimes it's a little bit of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I think where we fail, and I know that nonprofit leaders politicize, they make it very clear that they align themselves with the politics of the left or the politics of the right. I just think it's such a huge mistake because I have to stand up and fight a battle that to me is not a political battle. My arguments are not political. This is about people who are suffering and about people who don't have adequate food and how it affects children. And I don't care if you grow up in what house or what your political background is. A common value that we share as Americans is we want to love our neighbor. We want to care. And we care about people who are suffering. And so what I have to do is make sure I avoid, again, I want to be careful when I say avoid. If you were to sit down with me and ask me one-on-one, how do I feel about something? And you were to give me the bandwidth, if you will, the space to fully express my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my opinion on anything.
Yeah.
But that's just not what the average person will do. And so they're waiting for you to take one snippet so they can put you in a box and say, So I'll just relay something I shared with you about where I fit. I see challenges all the time in the African-American community that there are some barriers because of race. I see that as a very real and continuing problem. And I want to fight against those issues because it oftentimes results in individuals, especially children, maybe not getting the same opportunities. So I fight those inequities. However, I don't want to do it under the banner of a political party. In this case, let's say it's the Democrat Party, because I may not agree with everything that the Democrats stand for. Likewise, there may be some aspects to an issue that may be closer aligned to the Republican side, but I don't want to fight that issue under the banner of the Republican Party because people then put you in that category, which means you have to embrace everything that goes on within the Republican Party. So I try to, I'm not this, hey, I'm trying to find the squishy middle. I'm just trying to find the issues that I think where there are real problems in society, real injustices. And I want to fight those issues just because I care about these issues and I care about the people affected of those issues. I don't want to turn it into the political arena. I would like to think that there's people on the left and the right who are in this for that they might have different solutions to different problems, but they are in politics because they legitimately want for better outcomes. Now, I know that sounded like I had a positive opinion of politicians.
No.
So I don't want to be crazy because I know how much corruption, I know how much self-aggrandizement there is in politics today. But the reality is that's the system that we have. And I want to be able to sit down with the staunchest Republican or the staunchest Democrat and give an equal plea about those who are in need and plead my case and stand beside others who are doing the same. Some may choose to fight that fight on the side of Black Lives Matter. Some may choose to fight their fight on the side of a Republican Party, whatever it is. I don't want to get underneath those banners. I want to fight the key issues, but not align myself politically for the very reasons I've laid out.
Michael Coleman with Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. It airs every single morning at 10 o'clock, Monday through Friday, right here on Tony Curry Radio on the TKR app. Download it through Apple or Tony Curry Radio on Android and info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I think this is really interesting because, you know, you talk about that squishy middle, and I think there's a lot of people that are in that squishy middle, but they're kind of afraid to say they're riding the fence, right? And
yeah.
First of all, when you're in a non-for-profit, are there any laws or regulations that keep you from having a political affiliation? Listen, I mean, you worked at Jimmy Hale Mission. You worked with a lot of mayors in the Birmingham area. I know that you had homeless people come from Boutwell, and you had all these different things you had to deal with. And I'm sure there were some politicians that you loved to work with and some politicians you thought were a little snarky. And depending on what their political affiliation is, maybe made you a little biased towards that political affiliation, even though it may not be your political affiliation, period. Are there any laws or regulations that hinder or keep a non-for-profit from having any political affiliation with a party?
Yeah, so when you apply to the IRS to form your nonprofit, so you form a corporation, and then that's one that everybody has to go through that when you build your business. But then if you want that to be a nonprofit business, you have to do a special request to the IRS. It's a very detailed request, and you have to lay out exactly what your intention is. And if you can put that out there as that you're wanting to fight a certain issue, and it can even be politically related or whatever, but if it's not in, if it's not how you created, then you have a leader who comes in who may be bent left or bent right. You have to be very careful, because I've seen it to where leaders of the organization will go out and say, no, I'm acting as an individual. So I have to be mindful. Look, if I go out and make a public statement, or if I go to a rally somewhere, while I may be saying, well, I'm doing this as an individual, people are still going to recognize me as the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank, and they're going to attach whatever I'm doing to that rally. And so it's just a very dangerous thing. You know, churches are not supposed to be political, but you see that lots of times. Churches will, where pastors, depending on where they lean, left or right, will invite speakers in, and they will have political rallies. And technically that's not supposed to be done. And usually when you see that, you'll see the other side crying about it for a little while, because yeah, technically that's not what it's supposed to be, but it's just the nature of what we're doing here today. The nature of politics, how negative it's gotten. But the truth of the matter is, I have worked with people on both sides of the aisle and that I have intense respect for. And because I don't want to be guilty of what I'm accusing others of, which is, you know, if I make a statement, don't put me in a box and, you know, take the 30 second soundbite. Well, I don't want to do that to these politicians either. So if somebody's a Republican, somebody's a Democrat, I don't want to judge them based on that. I want to get to know the person and understand what their passions are, and are they open to the challenges that I'm facing in the nonprofit world, and how can they come alongside and fight this fight with me? I just want people in the fight. I don't care if they got a D by their name or they got an R by their name. we need everybody in the fight against food insecurity.
Michael Coleman, he's the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. They cover 35 counties, do fantastic work here in the great state of Alabama. With the holidays coming up, I know they're going to be super, super busy. And he just does a wonderful job here on Mission Minded. You can hear the show every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central Time, and wherever you get your podcasts, search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. You've shared a story in the past that I think it's really interesting, because when you talk about politicians, If I'm meeting with a local representative, regardless, Senate, Congress, governor, whatever, and I want to give them an absorbent amount of money, maybe $1 million, they should expect that I want something back in return. I may say, listen, sure, I really like what you stand for. Here is my gift to you. I don't want anything in return. Go knock it out. But you better believe that you're going to want something in return. That's what special interest groups are all about, right? How does that work for a non-for-profit? I mean, I know you've told some stories, and I think it's really interesting. I saw it. I was at an Alabama football game recently, and there was a booster. And I won't mention his name, but had given the university a $6 million. And he had to take a flight of stairs up to his box. And he was not happy because he was told that with that $6 million, potentially they could put an elevator in. And he was like, where the hell is my GD elevator? And I was like sitting there going, wow, he's giving $6 million to his university. And then he's saying, this is what I want it spent on. How do you deal with donors who come in that would give you some life-changing money to your organization, whether it be Jimmy Hill Mission or your previous organization or even the Montgomery Food Bank, but then there's something tied, it's tied to something. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think every organization should know what their core is, what their mission is, and should have the courage. Now, this is easy to say, but should have the courage to stand up if it's something that's asking them to go outside of their mission. I think they have the ethical obligation to turn that money down, or to be at least to not take it, saying they're going to do something and then not follow through with it. You're absolutely right. People give money because they're passionate. Lots of times people want to give money like for capital campaigns, and they're like, okay, I'm giving for this now. I'm not giving for this. I want the money to be used for X, Y, and Z. And most of the time I have found that people's ideas were reasonable. I had a large donor in Birmingham that was helping us renovate the dorms. And he was concerned about, because we had four to a room, he was concerned about them not having privacy. And so he offered up some recommendations. Well, first of all, they were great recommendations, and I was all for it. I was all for his input, but I also understood that if he said he wanted something that was going to work against our addiction recovery program, that I was going to have to stand up to him and say, no, we can't do that, and here's why. Most people are reasonable, but these universities that have major boosters, and all colleges have, you know, they're your money people. They're the ones who come pay the coach that you just fired. They're dumping millions of dollars into your program, and you better believe that they have these expectations. And so you just have to be very clear about what your needs are, what your expectations are, and help guide them. And we just had a wonderful donation before I even got here to the Montgomery Food Bank. Mackenzie Scott gave much of Feeding America. I think Feeding America has benefited, and the subsequent food banks. I think she's donated. And this is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. You know, she became an instant billionaire, and she's made a commitment to give it all away to charity. And she's given Feeding America over $500 million, an incredibly generous woman. And she did it. She said, well, I'm going to give these gifts out, and I want them to be life-changing gifts. But I also want you to have the flexibility to determine what that life-changing gift is. So that's perfect for the nonprofit, that it gives them money to make a decision, to really put it where they need to. And I just really appreciated her doing that, because it shows that her heart's in the right place, that she's not doing that to get something from it. She genuinely wants to help, and she doesn't say, hey, I'm bringing a one-size-fits-all solution. I want to affect Feeding America and help our ability, and she did that. So you have wonderful people like that, and then you have others that are difficult. I will tell you this. I think I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. We had a donor who gave $10,000 on every year. And $10,000 is nothing to sneeze at, you know? And so, but he stroked a check, and then, but he became so difficult to deal with, and he became so demanding, and he, even to the point of harassing my staff,
wow,
that I had to invite him to give his money somewhere else. I said, we have valued your participation in our program, but, it's gotten to the point of you harassing my staff and not living by the ideals that we're putting forth. And so therefore we're going to invite you to become active somewhere else. And that's the only time I've really had to do that. And it was hard to do, because you're saying goodbye to $10,000.
How did he respond?
Never responded.
Oh,
never called me, never, you know, I invited him, and that was part of the problem. He was, for some reason, he wouldn't come to me. And this was about a faith issue. He was very passionate about something Christian related, and just started challenging the staff on it. And so I explained to him, as the leader of the organization, here's how I felt about the issue. I took the time to explain it. I invited him to come to my office. I would sit down, we'd talk face to face. But he never would engage me for whatever reason. He just kept on to the point of harassment of our staff. And I just had to just cut off communication with him. I said, listen, we've really appreciated what you've done, but I'm no longer going to allow this interaction and this harassment to take place. And so, but he never responded to me. But, you know, we solved the issue. And it was just one of those to where I was not going to subject my staff for any amount of money to abuse or undue pressure, because their job is hard enough.
That's a really interesting story. And, you know, it's funny, because when you do things right and you do play it down the middle, this is a situation where obviously you're trying to bring in donations, you're trying to bring in awareness, you don't want to step on toes. And I get that. And, you know, I can understand where an organization that feels like if they want to step on half the toes and not on the other half, maybe they get more money from the half that they're actually helping. I don't know what the situation is, but your organization is not affiliated with any political organization or anything else for that matter. You are your own organization. You're Feeding America. You're the Montgomery Food Bank.
And people, let me say this, Tony, because this comes up all the time. I've worked for faith-based organizations. I am a Christian. Mm-hmm. I have a very strong belief system. But in that, I feel a responsibility to make sure that I am representing I'm not trying to impose my faith on anybody. What I'm trying to do is be open and accepting, understanding that we're all in this fight. So I'm not trying to turn the Montgomery Food Bank into a faith-based required organization. But what I am doing is my own faith comes to bear, because it's what motivates me to care for those who are hungry. And but if people who are non-believers, or people of a different faith background or perspective, I invite everybody here, because we're all in, this is one fight we all can join in together. I don't hide my faith and my perspective. I want it to inform what I do. But the purpose here is, this is not the place where I try to win converts, other than to show them that as a believer, I feel like we have to really live out our lives in meaningful ways, affecting the lives of other people. And so I hope that influences people to do good. So even people who say, you know, how are you a person of faith, but you're working in a just a general idea. And so whatever I do, I want to bring that same perspective, which is, hey, If we're talking about fighting against racism, or if we're talking about fighting against food insecurity, if we're talking about other barriers to people in poverty overcoming, which I've been in this space, you know, about 15 years now, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, you know, doing good. There's no prerequisite for doing good. I want you alongside this fight, and I want to show you why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. So again, I can work in this space, still do it as a person of faith, maintain my complete integrity. Don't shy away from that. But also don't impose that on a way that makes somebody else feel less than or not a part of a legitimate member of the fight.
Michael, great show, brother. Appreciate you. I can't wait to talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. We'll get to those emails next week. I'm looking forward to it.
We got a bunch of them. We'll get to them next week here on Mission Mighty.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.